You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning. Today, a showdown of sorts in the nation's capital involving something we haven't seen much in this Bush administration, and that is an override of a veto. And we're talking about the $290 billion farm bill. But there's a twist here, because what should have been a high-profile defeat for the president has actually turned into an embarrassment to the Democrats, who inadvertently sent Mr. Bush an incomplete farm bill, meaning the bill that the president ended up vetoing was not the bill that Congress passed. Did you get all that, John?
The dog ate their homework.
The dog ate their homework. Yeah. Right now, joining us to go through this mix-up is David Hertzenhorn, a reporter for The New York Times. And thanks for being with us, David, this morning. Is this snafu significant or just really a procedural error that will get cleared up quickly and Congress can get to the business of overriding their initial veto?
Well, it will get cleared up. It is delaying the House of Representatives from getting to small things like the federal budget. And yeah, the dog seemed to eat Title III, which is a small chapter on basically all the trade programs, foreign food aid, you know, insignificant stuff like that. So they're going to do it all over again. The House is actually going to pass a whole new farm bill. They're going to have to send it to the Senate to pass the bill all over again, send it back to the president, who hates it so much he'll veto it twice. And we'll find out if it counts as two overrides or just one for the history books.
And the bigger issue here, David, is interestingly, the president has only vetoed 10 bills in his entire administration. He's only been overridden once before this farm bill. He's arguing that the bill is bloated and that it is giving unnecessary subsidies for farmers. But he's really taking on an issue at a point when he's arguably at his weakest point in his presidency that is very popular among people on Capitol Hill, not only from urban areas, but also from rural areas.
Right. I mean, keep in mind, the president came into office saying that one thing he wanted to accomplish was farm reform, agricultural policy reform. But in 2002, when the last farm bill came up, he didn't like the bill. Same exact scenario was going on. But his advisors realized, one of them even said, it would be political suicide to veto the farm bill in an election year. And so he signed it. This is an election year again, but guess what? George Bush isn't running. So it's put him in a position where he can take, you know, what he says is a principled stand. But for all the Republicans in Congress who do have to run, who support a lot of the provisions in this bill, you know, it's setting down a showdown where they, you know, they have to cross swords with him.
And they certainly did. And is this perhaps they being members of Congress who are running for re-election this year, many of them jumping on board with Democrats, not only in the farm bill, but also in the Iraq war funding bill. So is what's happening here foreshadowing for what the president might expect in trying to get that passed?
Yeah, that's a little bit more complicated, obviously. The farm bill has so much so many different provisions that appeal to rural and urban lawmakers alike that it's a lot easier to get a big margin for passage. What we're going to see on the war supplemental is a bit more of the partisan fighting in Congress that we've become accustomed to the last few years. That's a harder sell, obviously, with withdrawal dates and a new expansive GI bill and provisions that some of the Republicans themselves really dislike.
Well, David, let's lay that out a minute. There is a supplemental for funding of the Iraq and Afghanistan wars, but it also includes unemployment insurance and it includes domestic spending on educational benefits for veterans. The only way, apparently, it's going to get passed is if those domestic provisions are split out of it somehow. How's that going to be accomplished, and does it increase the bill's chances of passage?
So, no, I mean, eventually the money will get approved to fund the troops, right? There's no doubt about that. So what we're going to go through, for instance, in the Senate today, is a bit of an exercise in legislative democracy. There will be a series of four votes, as I understand it. The first will be that bigger spending bill with all the domestic spending attached to it that the president's against, that a lot of the Republicans oppose. When that fails, and we expect that's going to fail, then they move to another version that strips out that domestic spending but leaves the new GI provision, which they think might have a shot, and they'll do another vote on that. And then they move to another vote, which has which is Harry Reid, the majority leader's amendment, which is got provisions on Iraq policy, and finally they'll do the version of it that we think is going to pass without if all else fails.
Wow.
Well, they certainly have a lot of work to do there in Washington, D.C. David Hertzenhorn, reporter with the New York Times. Thanks.